This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. As President-elect Donald Trump's cabinet takes shape, we'll take a close look at each pick and what impact it could have on Massachusetts. Today, Medicaid and Medicare. That's because Trump has chosen Georgia Congressman Tom Price for his Secretary of Health and Human Services. Price is a fierce critic of the Affordable Care Act. He's repeatedly introduced bills to replace Obamacare and has also talked about privatizing parts of Medicare. That also brings us to Seema Verma. She's Trump's pick to serve as the administrator of the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Verma helped design Medicaid expansion in Indiana, Vice President-elect Mike Pence's home state. So joining us to talk about these picks is Stuart Altman. He's got an unparalleled 40-year career in healthcare under five Republican and Democratic U.S. presidents. He served as Deputy Assistant Secretary of the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare under President Nixon. Under Presidents Ronald Reagan, George H.W. Bush, and Bill Clinton, Altman led the commission that oversees the way Medicare pays healthcare institutions. He was also a member of President Clinton's bipartisan commission on the future of Medicare, and he was a member of the health policy team for Barack Obama's presidential campaign. He's now a professor at Brandeis University and chair of the Massachusetts Health Policy Commission, which is all my way of saying when Stuart Altman speaks, we probably should listen. Professor Altman, welcome back to Radio
Boston. It's always a pleasure to be here.
All right. Well, first of all, let's start off with Seema Verma and her new job, or what should be her new job, as administrator for the Centers of Medicare and Medicaid Services. First of all, what does this position actually do?
Okay. So first, let me add to the fact that they are the over... They run the Medicare program and have a lot to say about how states operate their Medicaid program. But under President Obama, they were given the responsibility to really run the exchanges around the United States. So they're very much involved in the basic structure of the Affordable Care Act as well.
Okay, so this is why Verma's experience in Indiana then might give us some insight into what her views on healthcare is, because she had a role in expanding Indiana's Medicaid program. And one of the things that they did there was in return for giving choice in health coverage and enhanced benefits to low-income folks there, the plan required many of the state's poorest residents to actually contribute a few dollars into a health savings account and then purchase their insurance with additional help from the state. Her goal there was to basically have, in her words, have newly covered patients have some skin in the game.
Right.
When they made their healthcare decisions. What's your thought about that approach?
Well, understand that they and now Vice President Pence had to operate under the rules of the Affordable Care Act as implemented by President Obama. And therefore, they had limited ability to change the rules. And they might have done much more than they did, but they had to get a waiver authority from the government in order to do it. So I wouldn't read too much into really what she would want to do. Now, understand, the head of CMS is primarily an implementer. She is not going to be the major decision maker on what the future structure of Medicaid looks like. And she probably will not have a great deal of authority in that job about what replaces the Affordable Care Act, except for one issue. She is very close to the vice president-elect, and I do think he will have a big role. So while it isn't her job at CMS that puts her in the center, I think her linkage to the vice president could be very important.
Well, it's interesting because she was quoted as writing that this structure, the structure she introduced in Indiana, melds, these are her words, melds two themes of American society that typically collide in our healthcare system, rugged individualism and the Judeo-Christian ethic. I mean, in a way, to me, I'm hearing Mike Pence in that take.
Yes.
As well.
Well, yes, and that's really very important for everyone to understand. There are substantial philosophical differences between what we might think of as more liberal views about and more conservative views about the role of government and how much cross subsidies should one give to the sick and to the and to low income? There are big differences in philosophical views about those.
Hmm. Okay, so let's then take it up to the level, the cabinet level here, with Donald Trump's choice of Tom Price as Secretary of Health and Human Services. Now, Congressman Price has repeatedly pushed for repealing the Affordable Care Act. He's also talked a little bit about privatizing Medicare. We'll get to that part in a minute. But what's your take on what Donald Trump is trying to signal with Tom Price as his choice for HHS?
Well, let's Tom Price, who has been a congressman for many years and is an orthopedic surgeon, really makes no bones about the fact that he really, really strongly opposes having government play anything but a minimal role in the healthcare system. And he talks often about the keeping government out of the relationship between the doctor and the patient. So he comes at this by saying, how do we substantially downsize the role of government? In order to have these subsidies that we talk about, that we believe from a liberal point of view, which I support, that we need to help the poor, we need to help the people who are sick, he would back away government and substantially. And he's the right line within the House of Representatives that have been pushing Congressman Ryan, who's pretty much to the right as well. So I think he will have an important role. And as you pointed out, to the extent that President-elect Trump selected him, I think it does signal a major pullback of the federal government in the healthcare system of the United States.
So given that, of course, we don't know exactly what direction or the timeline that pullback may or may not happen. The attempt will be made. What are the potential impacts on Massachusetts then?
Well, the good news in Massachusetts is that, we have a long history of being very innovative and having a balanced, more not super aggressive, but aggressive role of government to make sure the system works better. And we, after all, implemented our own version of the Affordable Care Act before the U.S. And this current governor, who I have a lot of respect for, believes in that. Maybe not as much as some liberal Democrats would believe, but he does believe in it. So I think, and we've always had a Medicaid program which was at the top end in terms of eligibility and the kind of services that the program provides. So I think this state, I'm pretty sure this state will push pretty hard to try to hold on to as much as it can. The other thing is that we recently got the authority for a five-year waiver, which approaches $30 billion of federal money. From everything I know, and I've talked to the senior officials in the government here in the state, they believe that waiver will continue. Of course, all bets are off if somehow the federal government was able to claw that back. But that waiver is going to be very important in allowing Massachusetts to continue to provide those services.
So when you say waiver, what does that exactly mean?
That's a good question. So the way the system works is that, every state operates according to the rules of the game set up by the Congress and the government. But states can ask the federal government to waive certain requirements and to spend money in different ways. And the waiver was primarily designed to restructure the state's Medicaid program, to introduce more of these new kinds of delivery systems, so-called accountable care organizations, and to have more integration between behavioral health and physical health. So it was a way to take the Medicaid program in particular and restructure it in a way to bring about more efficiencies and to provide a better functioning system.
Mm. Now, if Tom Price has said frequently, and you actually mentioned it a little earlier, that part of his take is that he doesn't want the government, in his words, to get in between doctors and patients, which is why he wants to repeal Obamacare entirely. I mean, could that mean That would mean the collapse of the healthcare the federal level healthcare exchanges. But would that have an impact on the exchange here in Massachusetts?
So one of the piece of the Republican ideology, which is that as much as possible, if you're going to have government, it should be at the state level. And Pence clearly is a particular, as a governor, is particularly supportive of that. So to the extent that the responsibility doesn't go away, but some of it gets reallocated to the states, it would allow Massachusetts to continue to run a program. After all, we ran the connector before that.
Yeah.
The big issue is we ran it with substantial amounts of federal money. And the question is whether this waiver has the flexibility to use some of those dollars to sort of help run those, that essentially the old connector. So I think we're going to have to wait and see.
So we don't know the answer to that question?
Oh, we absolutely don't know the answer to that. And again, how much is in that waiver? My sense is that, as I said, the state, I'm sure, would do everything it could to sort of run a good Medicaid program and to try to help the lowest income population by private insurance through the connector. Again, how they use that waiver is going to be very important, and what flexibility they will have.
Okay. So let's switch gears here just for a second in the last couple minutes that I have with you, Professor Altman, because I want to talk a little bit more about Medicare.
Yes.
Because obviously Tom Price also is an advocate of, I mean, some people call it voucherizing Medicare. Other people call it premium support. Sort of depends on what side of the aisle you're on. But it's a big change in terms of how Medicare is administered or run and how benefits would be given out to Medicare recipients.
Yes. Before I lose this, though, I want to recognize the idea that there's another arm of government. It's called the Senate. And the Senate does not seem quite as excited about changing Medicare. Also, the American people are not that excited about Medicare. And President-elect Trump has made it clear that he's not about to see Medicare substantially change. So what Price wants and what Ryan wants is less likely to prevail on the Medicare side. But if they did, it would mean what you said, that individuals would get essentially a voucher, a fixed amount of money, and they could use that voucher to buy private insurance. The question is how much is in that voucher and how much the cost of the private, and there's a real possibility that people on Medicare. Now, we're not talking about people that are currently, I don't want to scare people.
Right.
You're not talking about people that are currently on Medicare or even people that are close to Medicare. We're talking about 5 and 10 years from now. I don't think they're going to do anything drastic. I don't want people to lose sleep.
Right.
About this.
You know, Professor Altman, one of the reasons why I was really grateful you could talk with us today is, as I wanted to give your full resume when we introduced you into the program, because you have been, at the center of America's struggles with health care and health insurance for some 40 years, dating back to the Nixon administration. Is what we're seeing here now just sort of the pendulum swinging again in terms of how the country looks at what its obligation is regarding health care? Is it just a swing to the side? Is it backward? Like, what is it? Put this change moment for us in context.
Yes. It is true that the ideas that are being floated by the Republicans, like Medicaid being a voucher or and restricting the role of state federal government, the idea of having Medicare on with vouchers, that's been around for a long time. What is different, and the reason why the spectrum or the pendulum is much greater, is we moved much further to the positive side, the left, in terms of passage of the Affordable Care Act, and to the extent that they want to bring this thing all the way back to where we were in 1970, means that pendulum has to swing much further than it's ever even been talked about. And the implications, and I do want to add on the other side, this is not only for the poor and Medicaid. The implications for the healthcare system across the board, all of us, is very substantial. That $1 trillion of new money that was spent on the Affordable Care Act went to support every hospital and doctor in this country. And if that gets pulled back, or a substantial amount of it goes away, it's going to have implications not only for the people in these programs, but for everyone in America.
Well, Stuart Altman is a professor of national health policy at Brandeis University. He's also the chair of the Massachusetts Health Policy Commission. And as we said earlier, he has worked at the federal level on healthcare under 5 U.S. presidents, both Democratic and Republican. Professor Altman, thank you so much.
It's always a pleasure.
Back in a moment. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.